Hello, and welcome to the Special Ed Strategist podcast, brought to you by Learning Essentials. Learning Essentials offers special education-based support, educational therapy, academic therapy, and IEP coaching by state-certified educators with advanced degrees in all areas of special education. The Special Ed Strategist podcast brings professionals together to educate and empower families navigating special education needs and the IEP process.
Welcome to the Special Education Strategist podcast, the podcast that offers all things special ed. I am your host, Wendy Taylor. If you want more tips, show us some love on social at Learning Essentials. If you are new to our podcast, give us a like and a follow. I'm excited to have Hannah Ross here today. We are talking about knowing how to student, organize, plan, and independence. So Hannah Ross is a professional educational therapist based in Los Angeles, California. After Hannah graduated from Pepperdine University and spent 5 years as a classroom teacher, she felt called to dedicate her work to the students who she noticed struggling in the traditional classroom setting. This led her to continue her education in the field of educational therapy at University of California, Riverside, and start her own educational therapy practice, Summit Learning. As a certified educational therapist, Hannah now works one-on-one with students with a wide variety of learning differences, providing skills and strategies to help them become successful and confident in the school setting and throughout their lives. Hannah is passionate about bringing the joy back into learning for all her students. Her practice serves learners in the Los Angeles area, as well as learners virtually across the world. Summit Learning specializes in providing dyslexia remediation as well as executive function coaching to learners of all ages. Hannah currently serves as the vice president of the International Dyslexia Association of Los Angeles, in addition to being a member of the Association of Educational Therapists. Hannah, I'm so happy that you are here today to chat with me and to talk about such an important topic, knowing how to student, because there's a lot of students that don't know that.
It's so true. And thank you. And thank you so much for having me here today, Wendy. It's such a pleasure to get to talk to you and your audience. I always love connecting with people outside of California, because in California, of course, educational therapy is a pretty, you know, more well-known field, but I know in the East Coast and beyond, there's not quite as many as us. So it's really cool to get to talk to people, you know, throughout the United States.
Oh man, I'm excited to geek out about this. And there's a fun fact. I'm only right now one of two in the state of Maryland that are certified as educational therapists. So I'm always so excited to connect and try to spread the word and get more educational therapists out to support our students that are vulnerable and are struggling with learning. And so let's dive in. What are executive function skills?
Yeah. And you know, when you really titled this podcast, How to Student, I think that's such a great title for talking about executive function skills, because really how to student is have executive function skills and be strong at those skills. And that's really, really hard. So executive function skills in the simplest way are the skills that people, adults, students, children need to get stuff done, and to get stuff done efficiently and effectively. They're incredibly important for getting pretty much any task in your life accomplished. Within the umbrella of executive function skills, there's lots of skills that fall within that, including planning, prioritization, organization, memory, attention, sustaining focus, emotional control, self-reflection or metacognition, time management. So you can see that within the umbrella of executive function skills, a lot of different skills fall within in that. So that's the basics of what executive function skills are. When I'm talking to students or parents, I kind of like to describe executive function skills as the coach of your brain. Your executive function skills are in charge of managing the team, organizing the plays, and really getting things accomplished so that you can win the big game. So your executive function skills are really what's in charge of accomplishing so many of the tasks that you need to do as a learner.
And I like that you refer to it as winning the big game, because a lot of times we'll talk about it as academic coaching,
right? Instead of executive mm-hmm. function coaching or executive function skills. So academic coaching, and really thinking of it as a coach that is there to guide you, to give you the top plays, to help you be more productive, more efficient, and more successful, instead of on the playing field, or you're now talking about the classroom setting and even beyond, right? So Hannah, you're talking about life skills. So on a job, I need to know how to prioritize and organize and to be able to sustain focus and have that self-reflection as well. So these are really good skills for students and adults to understand who they are as a learner, and then to be able to have strategies so that they can successfully put them into play.
Exactly. And really so much of our lives involve these executive function skills. From even getting up in the morning and getting to be on time to this podcast, I had to, you know, plan ahead to set my alarm and manage my time effectively to get here on time, right? Even to do a simple task like making a meal for ourselves requires organization, planning, task initiation, and so many of these valuable skills. So the skills that students need to student effectively, executive function skills, are also just transferable to general life skills as well.
What are some telltale signs that parents should look for if they believe their child's executive function skills are low or could be improved? So what are some signs as a parent that may be listening that they could say, oh, okay, this is what I need to look out for?
Yeah, that's a great question. And what I will note is that executive function skills don't fully develop in the brain until about the age 25. So it's normal for students to struggle with these skills. So most learners in middle school, high school, even college sometime will have areas of challenge within executive function skills. And a lot of that is developmentally appropriate because of the way their brain hasn't quite yet developed. At the same time, as we both know, learners develop at all different rates. There's some students who seem to naturally just be born with the ability to organize and manage their possessions, while other students are behind the curve in this area and have some executive function deficits. And these executive function skills are much harder for them to develop. And they're not developing these skills naturally, but they need more explicit coaching and support to do that. So I would always tell parents, some of this is normal. Some of the struggles are normal, and some of them could be red flags. So don't expect your student to be perfect in terms of executive function skills. No one is, but you can definitely look out for some red flags. I would say some red flags really too, or some signs that a student might be struggling, is any problems that are happening not just occasionally, but very, very frequently, such as like frequently misplacing items like their jacket, their water bottle at school, their school papers. This is happening on a multiple times a week basis. Very often forgetting to begin or finish tasks and not able to sustain focus through completing a task, particularly a non-preferred task like a homework assignment or, you know, cleaning up the room, right? Difficulty following directions, difficulty keeping their school stuff or their home possessions in their room organized. And once again, I think lots of parents have children with messy rooms. So this would once be, again, be like really frequently their possessions are all over their house. They just can't seem to figure out where they are. In addition, students who are unable to estimate how long a task will take, they really seem to lack an understanding of time and tend to really underestimate or overestimate, as well as those students who are really struggling to complete longer tasks that require multiple steps. I'd say those are some signs that oftentimes parents will notice and could be a sign of executive function struggle if those things are happening again and again and again with your students.
I'd also add the interference, right? So if it's happening repeatedly, and then is it interfering with your daily living? Is it interfering with your academic success? Is it interfering with your relationships? You know, whether that's parent to child or friendships. So I think if it's interfering and it's repetitive, then that should kind of be a little alarm that goes off a little bell and says, oh, maybe I should think about this for my child.
That's such a good point, because it's something that naturally these things happen. It's just life. But if the thing is really causing a lot of strife in the household or a lot of stress and anxiety on both sides, definitely a sign you might want some help.
In your opinion, are there certain executive function skills that must come first in terms of developing our students' success?
That's such an interesting question, because really when I started thinking about how executive function skills develop, they really do begin developing very naturally in humans at a very young age. Even babies are developing their working memory as they get to know faces of their family members, of their parents. Babies are developing their sustained attention as they learn to track objects for longer periods of time. Into toddlerhood, toddlers are learning inhibition and emotional control as they play with friends and other kids their own age. And then of course, in elementary school, students begin to learn to initiate tasks and organize as they keep track of their belongings, and they hopefully start work independently. So a lot of these skills are kind of naturally developing within our children from a very young age. But of course, some students need a little extra support in those areas. And I also would just note, in terms of development, a lot of times it seems that students develop executive function skills for preferred tasks. A lot of times students can use these executive function skills when they're doing something they really, really like. Like, let's say it's playing video games. So many parents have told me, you know, my student doesn't have a problem with attention because they can play video games for 5 hours a night. And they're really sustaining attention there, which is true. And executive function skills aren't always tricky for the things you like to do, but they're more challenging for the non-preferred tasks like homework or cleaning your room. So that being said, like, you might, as you're watching the executive function skills develop, you might notice that there are some differences. Sometimes it appears your child can do the executive function skill when they want to, when it's a preferred task. Other times, not so much. So it's important to know that all of the skills kind of go together. And I do think, you know, one skill that's really important to come first is the idea of like self-reflection and metacognition. I know another one of your guests spoke about the power of internal language in developing executive function skills. I think it is really important for a learner to be able to notice what they're doing and notice what needs to be done and when a mistake is made. That's kind of self-reflection skills. So I think those are really important to develop. Of course, those are a skill that can develop with more maturity. So it's not always the quickest building skill, but it's something that I like to work with students on right away, is trying to think about what is actually problem solved for themselves and self-reflect on what's going wrong or an error they might have made. And then in terms of working with students, I also really like to start with organization. And I think that's just a personal preference of what I noticed works for my students. I really believe that students need to have systems of organization for their belongings. And usually for me, that's working on their academic work. It's really important, whether that's, you know, a digital folders on their computer where they know their documents are, or it's having an organized binder with folders and a planner in it. I really like students to have that organized workspace and organized materials first as a foundation for moving into other executive function skills. And I really like that personally. It's a personal preference, because I personally feel much better when I have an organized workspace. I feel like ready to conquer the world. And I notice students feel the same. I also noticed that many times I've had students come in and say, well, I have everything written in my planner. I know how long it's going to take. They know what they need to do. But then once we get down to it, they say, oh, well, I have no idea where the science study guide is, or I don't know where my book is. And they might have figured out the time management or made a plan, but they've lacked this big organization piece. And so the fact that organization is lacking ends up wasting a lot of time for students, because they end up spending a lot of time searching for these missing assignments. So I really like to set up that organization system first, and kind of developing a routine where students know where their paper should go, where their planner should go, what they should do with their homework assignments, whether paper or virtual, so that then when we are ready to move on to managing time with a planner or figuring out how to do a big project, they will actually know where their planner is and they will be able to find the directions for that project. So that's kind of why I like to start with organization myself. I think it really helps eliminate some wasted time for students and really sets a really firm foundation for moving on to some of those more complex executive function skills.
And I want to add though here, Anna, that with this, this is the beauty of working with an educational therapist, working on executive function skills, because there are students that appear organized, like the example you just gave, that they're like, oh, I have everything here. But when you really ask the questions of how do we break this assignment down? What does the rubric look like? How do we get started? Then you can kind of see where there's looseness and these skills that need to be shored up. And so, you know, oftentimes I've seen students present to their classroom teachers as being organized and having this information. But when you get under the hood and take a second, it's like, we're missing a lot. And so to work with somebody that understands the process and can give them those strategies is amazing.
I totally agree. And that's one thing I really love about our job is that we don't, there's not like a set curriculum we have to follow, but we can really look at each individual student and kind of take note at exactly what the area of struggle might be most important for them to start right. with.
So how do executive function skills show up in a classroom in terms of learning, right? We just kind of gave this quick example of the student appearing organized, but so what are some other ways that they can show up in a classroom?
Yeah, great question. And really absolutely everywhere, you know, executive function skills are really that secret unnamed class that every student in middle school and high school and beyond is taking, and they don't even know about it. The research says that executive function skills rather than IQ or intelligence are the best indicator of a student's success in school, which to me really shows just how important these executive function skills are for our learners. So if we think about a school student's school day, pretty much everything they do is requiring them to have executive function skills. They have to manage time to be in class at the right time and be able to transition between classes. They have to be able to use their working memory skills to remember to bring their homework to school to turn it in, to remember to start their homework. Students have to be able to make a plan in order to approach big projects or studying for tests that are, or doing any kind of academic task that's going to take more than one sitting. They have to be able to prioritize and see what should I do first, second, third, and so forth, so on, so they can get their work done. And they have to really be able to task initiate well. They have to be able to start tasks that they might not want to do, whether it's their homework or studying for a test or beginning a big essay. They have to be able to start those tasks and know how to start, how to organize their time in doing those tasks, how to sustain focus. And those things are very challenging. So really, if I look at the school day, there's so much executive function involved in studenting. And I even realized that myself when I was a classroom teacher, I didn't even realize that. I look back now at all the assignments I gave to students without proper scaffolding, not even realizing that I wasn't just asking them to understand this particular content, but I was asking them to apply the skills of organization, time management, planning, and prioritization to an academic task I wanted them to do. And I oftentimes didn't realize just how challenging that could be for learners. So really it shows up almost everywhere, I would say, in upper elementary and beyond.
So what can we do about it, right? So can these problems with executive function, what supports can we put in place? Is there something that requires, you know, lifelong support? Is this something that we are able to interject some strategies and again, teach that student who they are as a learner and then teach them skills to best suit those needs? What can we do about it?
Yeah. So I would say, I do believe that everyone can get support for their executive function skills and learn strategies and skills that they need to be independent learners. Of course, this happens at different times for different students. I'd also note that even as adults, we all have strengths and weaknesses in terms of executive function skills. And if I look at myself, I think I'm really good at planning and prioritization. I live off my Google Calendar and Google Tasks, and I'm pretty good at figuring out my day and getting things accomplished. But I tend to struggle with time management. I feel like I'm always running a few minutes late somehow. When I'm driving somewhere new, I forget to take into account parking and traffic. So time management is more of a struggle for me. So even as an adult, I don't have it perfectly figured out, but I figured out ways to compensate for that executive function deficit I might have by giving myself a buffer, by doing little things that will help support my challenges. So I kind of like to think about students in the same way. You know, they will learn strategies and skills to improve their executive function. They might have struggles with certain areas for their whole lives, but they'll be able to have the maturity to compensate for those strategies, especially if they are to get intervention from educational therapists or executive function coaches who can explicitly teach some of these executive function strategies and tools and routines. So that explicit instruction of what executive function skills are and what routines students should have in place and use to support their learning is really, really important. And I would say in terms of another part of your question of how educators can support executive function skills. And I would say this, it is really important for teachers to kind of realize that executive function skills are that unnamed course in school and to think about how they can infuse executive function skills into their teaching as well. Because a lot of these skills are never really explicitly taught. Students are rarely ever taught in the school system how to make a plan for a larger task or how to organize their belongings or how to initiate a difficult task. So it's really helpful for parents, teachers, support professionals to work with students in creating routines and systems for either the home or the classroom. So a student knows exactly what to expect at a given time of the day and what they need to do. This could look like a morning or evening routine checklist in the home if you're a parent, where the student can see everything that needs to be accomplished within the given time frame so they can keep track of that and plan accordingly. In the classroom, it's really helpful when there are routines behind those daily tasks, routines for how homework gets turned in every day, routines for how students are supposed to write down what they need to do in their planner, routines for what to do when you have a big essay, different how taking that big essay and breaking it into smaller, more manageable chunks and helping a student do that, actually taking the executive function skills and modeling it for them by kind of showing the students, this is step one, this is step two, this is step three of either studying or a big essay, or if you're a parent, cleaning your room, helping students break things into manageable chunks and being really explicit about that's what you're doing and you're doing it so it'll be easier to get started and easier to stay organized. Those accommodations and routines can be very helpful in helping support the students who are really struggling in these areas.
I want to add, I think this is really helpful. And I was going to ask, you know, what are some of your favorite executive function strategies to teach? But you had mentioned something, you know, in terms of teaching parents, you know, we have educators and support for those academic skills. But, you know, it's something to think about as a parent in a home who's recently coaching with a parent and working through with their child on how to take a shower, right? So this is a teenager, you know, mom was frustrated, assuming that the student can do the basics. You know, I tell him to wash his hair and, you know, so on and so forth. And so what we did is we came up with a plan of how to break that process down. And so the mom got a clear shower curtain.
Like dry.
So she got a shower curtain. And then what we did is we laminated and pasted the steps on the shower curtain. So her friend could see, her child could see the steps, you know, step one, wet your hair, step two, wash your hair. And we put a picture of what that bubbles and washing look like, step three, you know, so there was this step by step, because in our heads, oftentimes we know that leap, right? We know somebody says take a shower, we know our steps to take that shower, and somehow that gets missed. And there's also, you know, with, I want my child to clean their room and they say it's clean, but our expectations are different. So how can we scaffold? How can we break that process down so the child sees, all right, this is what a clean room looks like. Here's my end result, right? So a parent can, you know, we've suggested clean the room the way you would like it, take a picture of that, and that's the end result. That's their goal, and then help them with steps through it. So there's things you can do for parents to kind of help them in their home. But kind of back to that original question is, do you have some favorite strategies for executive function that you teach through educational therapy or you've taught teachers to use or so forth?
Yeah. And I love those examples you shared because they're such important real life examples with the taking a shower. Like as adults, we think, of course they know all the steps to taking a shower. How could they not know that? But in fact, for those non-preferred tasks the student doesn't really want to do, it's quite hard to remember those steps. So I think that's a great example. So some of my favorite strategies definitely I think would go in line with what you're describing. I love to use backwards planning, which is kind of another way to break things into chunks, is kind of think with the student, what is, and this could be used at home or school, what is the end goal? Is our end goal that you have a completed essay? In that case, let's brainstorm, what are all the steps that need to happen in order to get there? We might do this on a graphic organizer or just write steps on a post-it and then organize those. So I like to have the student actually work with me and say, we have this big task. What are the smaller steps we could do to make sure this happens effectively? I think this can happen with academic tasks. If you're studying for a test, you want to be prepared for your test. What are the smaller tasks you need to do? And students can usually note that they need to first organize their papers for their tests, get their things together. They might need to complete their study guide. They might need to make note cards. They might need to get together with a friend group and actually start studying those concepts. They might need to ask a friend, a teacher about something they didn't know about. So usually when we take the time to actually break down the steps in the process with that end goal in mind, students are able to figure out what those steps are through discussion. And then we'll take those steps and put them together in a plan and say, okay, this is going to happen first, next, last. So students can keep track of that. I love doing this with students, or I love having students do this at home as well with a fun task like cooking a dessert. If they want to make the best chocolate chip cookies, starting with that end goal in mind, having the child figure out what are all the steps they would need to take to make the best cookies. There's definitely steps in there that involve time management, organizing supplies, following directions, all of those good things. And then having the student actually see if they can figure out the order those steps should go in, and then finally doing the task. So I'd say that kind of backwards planning is really helpful to build in the skill of planning and organization, as well as metacognition. I think another important thing for both teachers and parents to do is simply modeling executive function skills in our language and kind of demystifying those. So as a parent might be planning ahead for, you know, going on a family outing, actually talking out loud to the student, okay, we have to get to grandma's house by 9 a.m. I wonder what time we need to leave to get there on time. No, we want to stop and get coffee to bring her. So, oh, we better think about when we need to leave. Like we better push back our leaving time. Oh, okay. If we have to leave at 8 o'clock, what time should we wake up? So kind of using the child in that brainstorming process, and kind of, we do all these things as adults in our heads all the time, but actually talking through these things are really important for kids to hear that our inner dialogue with ourselves, how we plan and we manage time, that can be a really helpful thing for students as well. In addition to that, for different students, I think different strategies work well. For some students, I think a checklist is so important, having checklists for them to remember the important things they need to do. Creating like routines that are actually written down is incredibly beneficial. Having routines for nearly everything in their day and in their academic life is really important for students with executive function strategies. I think those are some of my favorite tried and true strategies. I also love, like, we're looking at time with students and having students practice estimating time, especially a student who might be really struggling with overestimating or underestimating how long a task takes. Practicing making an estimate of how long we think something's going to take, and then actually timing it to compare. Really trying to explicitly teach how sometimes our understanding of time can be different than what it truly is. In addition to working with time, I think using timers, clocks, different kind of digital reminder tools are also really, really helpful for students who need help remembering when to do things and managing their time. So any kind of timers, whether it's physical or digital, can also be a great strategy to teach students to effectively use.
And these so easily can be put into a regular classroom, right? So are there any other accommodations that educators could implement easily, right? Our educators, our classroom teachers are really overloaded right now, but what are some things? And there, I would imagine there's a lot of teachers, not I would imagine, I do know there's a lot of teachers that inherently implement a lot of these structures that we're talking about throughout their classroom. Are there just some other simple accommodations that we haven't talked about that educators could put into the classroom to help their students?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing would be helping create routines in the school day. And I do think this happens a lot in early elementary school. We'll see like a clear morning routine and a homework folder routine. But by the time students get to upper elementary, they're really expected to do this independently. And that's why we start to see a lot of executive function struggle in like fifth grade, because parents have kind of, or teachers have kind of released and given students a little more independence. So I'd say just most importantly, it would be understanding the importance of like a routine and a system for breaking big tasks down is most important, regardless of grade levels, and keeping those directions really and expectations really clear and specific. You know, I think, you know, students can also use a little extra check-ins and extra support in the classroom. If you know a student is struggling with these specific skills, actually checking in and saying, okay, you know, I know we have this big project coming up, and, you know, according to our graphic organizer, you should be on step 3. Show me, where are you? So kind of helping to develop some of that accountability by checking in on those things can be really helpful, just because students, they're still learning to have these executive function skills. So those reminders can be very beneficial to help them get into the routine. So you may need to provide a few extra reminders for students with executive function challenges, whether that is the reminder to use their planner or the reminder to have gotten to a certain place on a study guide. With that being said, I do think even as adults, we sometimes do overprompt students with executive function challenges, and we kind of get in the habit of just telling them what to do all the time and almost reminding them too much. So we want these reminders we give to definitely be decreasing, hopefully. The goal would be that we're giving reminders, and that eventually as students get better at the routine or have that routine clearly in front of them, they need less reminders. And instead of saying, did you get started on your homework? We might say, you know, what else do you need? If you look at your to-do list for the day, where are you on your to-do list? Helping to prompt students to not just rely on us to be their executive function, but to actually begin to think for themselves and think about what those steps are on their own.
Absolutely. And I think that independence is huge. And I think having those conversations with our older students, middle school, high school, you know, and even upper elementary, starting to have the conversation of, out of these strategies, what is working? What speaks to you, what makes it easy, you know? And I like how you said with the prompting, if we have a student that has, all right, here's my PM schedule that I need to do at home, homework, shower, if I'm on medications, take my medications, whatever it may be. And then instead of saying, you know, have you done this, this, and this, where are you on your list? I think that's great for them to just, oh, wait, I do have a list. Okay, let me check my list. And so really teaching some life skills within that process is huge. And then even with like technology, I have some students where a paper calendar is it for them. That's all we're managing. Mm-hmm. And I have some students that really like, say, Google Keep or some sort of, you know, app on their phone that they can then keep track of what they need to get done. And so working with the student to figure out, you know, do we want something that's paper-based? Do we want something electronic? So really having those conversations and involving the student, I think, is really helpful, right? Because then they have a greater buy-in. They feel like you're hearing them, you're supporting them. But through this conversation, we really kind of just pointed out these pockets of vulnerability, but there are some really strong, unique strengths that our students that struggle with executive function skills exhibit. So how do you suggest parents and educators capitalize on what those strengths are?
Yeah, I think that's such a good point, such a good thing to point out, because so many students with executive function deficits are constantly hearing about what they're doing wrong and how they're behind, how they have missing work. And so they definitely are getting a lot of negative feedback at school. So it's important to notice that there are areas of strength that these students tend to have. And whenever possible, it's great to actually play to these strengths and to see if these strengths can help the students. And I usually find, I'm curious what you see, Wendy, I usually find that students who might have an executive function weakness might be really strong. They might be really a really creative thinker or a really good problem solver. I also find these students, like, they're really good, like, building things, like building all the Legos and remembering, like, figuring out, which actually requires a lot of executive function skills in itself. So I really see a lot of that creativity and problem solving. I also see, like, lots of artistic skills in students with more of executive function and challenges. I feel like there's that, like, just creativity and problem solving piece that is oftentimes there. What do you see?
I agree. And I think that's really amazing, right? To have that student be able to identify their strengths, because, you know, all humans want to feel like they bring value and that they have strengths and that it's not just pockets of vulnerability that are impacting, but to recognize their strengths and then to give them the outlet to develop those strengths. And then, you know, if it's problem solving, creativity, you know, creativity, how do we weave that amazing creativity into writing an essay? And then perhaps it's, all right, you have all these fantastic ideas. So how can we help you organize these ideas and put them down in a manner that expresses everything, you know, in your head? You tell this great story with texture and sense and colors, and, you know, it's amazing. And then they go to write and it's like, Bob had a cat. And so there's that disconnect, right? So you want to really play to those strengths and then help the student make that leap in that executive function part, that organization part, to be able to show what they know. And then sometimes, you know, it can even impact looking, or sometimes it can even look into, or you can look into assistive technology and how can that better support that kiddo. So what, Hannah,
I'll add on to that real quick. Uh-huh. And I love assistive technology to help, especially with the writing process, because the writing process is so executive function based. And I love the idea of just any kind of alternative assessment that teachers can do, whether it's instead of writing an essay, it's, you know, creating an art piece or creating like a diagram where students can kind of show their understanding in a different way. And also just providing a lot of praise for those students and positive reinforcement for those skills that students have that maybe not every student in the classroom has. So I really love when students get the opportunities to do those things at school. And of course, at home too, I think parents can always remember is those things that your student, your learner likes to do, capitalize on that. Let them do some of those things and see how can you weave the conversation about executive function skills into that task they really like, making things with Legos or creating a beautiful piece of artwork. How can you kind of tie those together and praise the executive function skills that were involved in the task that they did?
Yeah. And you mentioned choice. And I think that's always a good thing, right? Give choices in terms of assignments when possible, give choices at home where possible. Just even with parenting, I always say, assume the sale, right? Are we going to bed in 5 minutes or 10 minutes? Just, you know, just so you know, it's going to be a choice, but just giving, you know, like you said, with an alternative assignment so that kids can really develop and show their strengths. What learning disabilities do you tend to see in your practice that link up with executive function?
I usually see that it's quite common for students with ADHD to have challenges with executive function. You know, in addition, students with anxiety or processing or working memory deficits can definitely have executive function challenges. So that's definitely that's generally the diagnoses I'll see as related to EF challenges. But it could be really any students could struggle in these areas, but certainly a diagnosis of ADHD, of processing or working memory challenges can make the executive function deficits, you know, more challenging and definitely more of a reason why that particular student will struggle with these skills and could definitely benefit for that outside intervention.
Do you think executive function skills, do you find them that they're learned, they're inherited? Where are they coming from? Do we know?
I think it's both. I think it's both in that, you know, they are definitely learned. They're explicitly taught throughout life. You know, it's our job as adults to teach students these things so they can improve upon them. And that's certainly what we do as ed therapists. But I also think they're somewhat inherent. I think it's naturally some kids will be be stronger in executive function skills than others. So it seems to me like it's just a mix of both, where we have some students coming in with inherent natural strengths in terms of executive function. They could still use some explicit instruction, but probably don't need quite as much. Or we have students coming in with a more natural executive function deficit, where they're going to need a lot more of that explicit learning to get up to where their peers are.
So we've kind of covered a lot here. What is one number one piece of advice that you'd like to give parents and educators regarding kiddos when it comes to executive function?
Yeah. And you know, one thing that comes back to me actually from your last question about strategies that teachers can use in the classroom, I think one thing I forgot to mention earlier was to note that test taking and study skills are very related to executive function. Really, study and test taking skills are all executive function. But once again, these are things that are not explicitly taught. So when you said, you know, what else can we do in the classroom to help learners, I would say explicitly teaching what it means to study and how you expect students to study is really, really important. That's another thing, kind of like the taking a shower example, where, right, where a student hears to I should study for my math test every day, but they have no idea what that means. So I think students,
or they say they studied and they, yeah, and they just looked at a piece of paper.
And they just looked at it. So I think it's really important and I know it's hard to have the time, but I would argue that it's worth it to spend time teaching students about study skills and taking a lot of time to do that. Teaching them how it's important to organize their materials, teaching them the difference between active and passive studying, teaching them about how their brain works, how your brain is going to better remember information if it's spread out over multiple days, not just crammed the night before. In addition, teaching ways to study. Students might want to study with flashcards, maybe creating a mnemonic device, creating their own questions, rewriting their notes, providing students with different ways they can study, and maybe even teaching these different ways to study would be so incredibly helpful if it was incorporated into teaching it into classrooms instead of students just being told to study for their test. Because that's such a valuable, you know, school life skill, is knowing how to study. And I think many students don't exactly know what that means. So that's something that I would say could be explicitly taught in the classroom as well. So I would say, like my biggest piece of advice for parents and teachers would be, think about it from your students' perspective and think about what they understand how to do. And oftentimes I think we just look at things as an adult, like we know what it means to be organized and make a schedule and follow a to-do list. We understand that because we've had to develop those skills to get where we are as adults, but our learners don't. And so don't be afraid to really break it down and be very, very specific about what it means to do a task, what it means to study, what it means to organize your room. So be really, really clear about what your expectations are and just think about what they might not, you know, what they might not understand within there, whether it's they might not understand what it means to study. Maybe they don't understand what it means to organize their binder. So kind of notice those things and have grace for students when that happens. Their brains are still developing. They're not supposed to be perfect. And definitely take that as a time where you can come alongside and educate the learner in what it means to do those things and really explicitly teach how to do those executive function related tasks.
Yeah. So what does independence look like at these different ages, right? So if I'm noticing this as a teacher or a parent and I want to explicitly teach, but then what are my expectations, right? What does independence look like, you know, throughout the years that I know, okay, well, I could expect my high school student to be able to do X, Y, and Z, but I wouldn't necessarily expect my elementary school age student to do the same.
Yeah, I think that's a great question, especially for parents, because you, as a parent, you see your own child and you think, you know, is this developmentally appropriate? Because you don't always have the comparison of a whole classroom of students. So, you know, what I was kind of thinking about is it is different throughout the years what we expect learners to be able to do. And we gradually want to release control so they have more independence. I would say when it comes to elementary school, a reasonable expectation is that students should be able to keep track of their homework assignments. They likely have like a homework folder, a designated homework folder. They should be able to keep their homework, keep it in there, and bring their homework home most days and kind of be able to manage that homework from home to school. And they should be able to begin, I'd say, especially in upper elementary school, be able to begin to use a planner to write down their daily tasks of what needs to be done. And they should be able to start looking at that planner to remember what they need to do and kind of be able to organize some of their belongings. So I think in elementary school, I'm looking for that, like able to begin using a planner, keep track of their homework. If they're getting to upper elementary school, start their homework independently. That's what I usually see in upper elementary. And definitely jump in if you have more to add here as well. And then by the time students get into middle school, you know, we're expecting, of course, they should have an organization system in place for their homework. They should be able to know what their homework is, start and finish their homework independently. And if it's something they can't finish independently, they should be able to notice, oh, I don't know how to do that, so I should ask for help. They should also be able to start using a planner to not just track daily assignments, but like look more long view and be able to use a planner to say, oh, I have a test next Tuesday. So I'm going to have that on my mind and maybe I should prepare. So they should be like starting, I would say, by middle school to be looking ahead at longer term on a planner. And then by high school, really we're expecting, you know, students are expected to have quite a bit of independence in high school. They, you know, should be able to plan ahead for longer tasks. And our hope is that they should be able to break down their assignments into more manageable chunks like we were talking about doing. So they should be able to plan ahead using a planner or whatever their system is. They should be able to have some strategies to initiate the non-preferred tasks independently without a lot of prompts from parents. And they should also be able to self-advocate for themselves, email their teacher if they don't understand something or if they missed something or are confused. So they should be able to have avenues of people they can go to for help when they need it. So generally, I would say those are kind of the baseline is what we want to expect our students to do in terms of executive function throughout like the school ages. And definitely add on there if you think I'm missing any big ones.
Yeah, no, I love this whole list here. And I would certainly say that I would start to introduce some of these at the stage below that, right? So self-advocacy, you can start in upper elementary. You can have your child email a teacher and that starts to set the process. You know, you can show them how to do it. You can help guide them with the language and so forth. And even in middle school, or even starting to have at a younger age, having them order their food if you go out to supper, right? To be able to use your voice and pick out what you want and to be able to order your food. And then I think those are all really great skills just to have mastered, or if you see that they're not mastering it, start to either, you know, reach out to your educational therapist for guidance and then really kind of start to teach those explicit skills on how to organize and manage your time and to break things down into chunks. And I really like how you brought up having a monthly calendar, because oftentimes students are like, oh, I have this tomorrow, but they haven't thought beyond, wait, I have a test. So if it's on three chapters, let me, you know, study one chapter on this day and then review that chapter and study a new chapter. And so have a plan to move forward and how to do that.
Yes, exactly. And I think it's important to note that these are the skills we expect kids to be able to do independently by those ages. And it doesn't mean they're going to develop those independently. They'll likely need some teaching and some practice to get there, like you said. So I love the idea of prepping the student early and like kind of starting teaching those skills at the younger age, so that by the time they're in high school and then in college, they really can feel quite effective and efficient.
I guess I would be remiss as well as an IEP coach if we didn't talk about IEPs and how we can do some executive function goals in an IEP to support a student. So this is not saying that all students with executive dysfunction need an IEP. You know, we did mention that some students with executive function also have other impacts in their learning. And so that's why they most likely have qualified for an IEP. But what are some things that we could suggest for our listeners that we could put into an IEP to better support students with those executive dysfunctions?
Yeah. And I think it's always important to like look at the individual student and think, what does that individual student need? Are we really working on task initiation? Are we working on planning ahead, organization? So kind of picking like the specific executive, since executive function is so broad, picking more specifics to dive into. And I would say, you know, if some examples I would say is if you're really working on like using a planner or planning ahead, saying like the student will independently write daily assignments in a planner with 90% accuracy with measured planner daily checks, right? So you're kind of creating a goal that helps the student start using this planner, and probably some scaffolding will have to happen. You know, if you're, you know, really working on time management and helping the student transition from task to task, you might say, you know, the student will use a visual timer to signal a 1 minute alert to help them transition to their next class, you know, with 80% accuracy 4 out of 5 days a week. And also, you know, so some of those accommodations or those IEP goals could be really, really helpful, you know, in terms of when it comes to actually completing work that involve using executive function skills. I like to say like student will use a graphic organizer as a visual cue to help them prep for a writing assignment. And then we'll be able to, with the support of the teacher, break that writing assignment into 3 or more multiple chunks on, you know, 4 or 5 assignments. So I think kind of looking at the specific goal or at the specific executive function skill you need to address is definitely most helpful.
And then kind of building around there. Individualized. Right? It puts right? The I in individualized.
Exactly. It's all individualized. I mean, how many times we can say that a million times, I think. So really like looking to see which specific executive function skill you're going to, you know, most focus on.
And I also would add that if you have a student, just kind of a little bit of low hanging fruit, if anybody's going into an IEP meeting, to if you have a student needing assistive technology, ask your school team, ask the IEP team, who in their county does assessments for assistive technology. Typically, some counties will have a team that will come out and help provide some recommendations if you need a student that is impacted and that could benefit from assistive technology. Oh my gosh. Well, I can't believe how much we covered, and I feel like we could still chit chat. But as we're kind of wrapping this up, this is such an important topic and it impacts a lot of our students, and it really does help them grow as learners and be successful as adults. But through this conversation, Hannah, was there a question that I did not ask that I didn't know enough to ask? That I should have asked.
No, I think you asked amazing questions. And I think as we're moving on to summer, I would just say to parents out there is just continue, take the summer as a time to practice some of these executive function skills in a fun way. Games are a great way to practice executive function skills. Like simple games you have around your house, Monopoly, Clue, Guess Who, Jenga, all practice different executive function skills, maybe response inhibition, emotional control, organization. So games are a great way to teach that and even have your student point out, oh, which executive function skills did you use in that game? I also love to think about what are some executive function projects you can do in the home. Have your student plan a day or an hour for the family. Have your student cook a meal or make a scavenger hunt or obstacle course for a younger sibling, and have them actually like write out a plan for you and manage how long it's going to take and break it down into steps and actually see if they can initiate all of those tasks. So take summer as a time to practice these in a fun way. I know students also love getting to redesign their workspace before the school year starts. So kind of even like making a plan for how the student might want to redesign their workspace, having them draft that out and then budget how much it would cost to buy those things on Amazon and have them actually follow through with it. So I'd say for the summer, don't forget about executive function skills, but feel free to make them fun as you work on them with your learners.
Yeah, make them fun. Exactly. And there's so much you can do. And I love the game ideas and just even social skills, right? In terms of how do you respond to somebody? How do you respond when you're not winning? You know, those are a lot of good family opportunities and to make it fun and to create some projects as well. So that's a good way to keep our brains moving during the summer.
For sure.
If we had a billboard with one tip for parents, what would it be and why?
Ooh, I feel like just based on our conversations, I would say break it into chunks would be my strategy, is break things into manageable chunks. I feel like I'm saying that constantly. That's my one tip for everyone out there, because I think that's just an easy thing to remember. And it's a relatively easy thing to do once we remember it. So chunking.
Fantastic. All right, Hannah, thank you so much for joining us today. I will put where people can find you in our show notes so that they can seek you out, seek your guidance out. I am Wendy Taylor. I'm your host of the Special Education Strategist Podcast. If you are new, give us a like and follow us on social at Learning Essentials. Hannah, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you. It's been fun.
Thank you for joining us today for our Special Ed Strategist podcast. To hear more pro tips and find additional IEP essentials, including our IEP webinar, please visit www.learningessentialsedu.com.